Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's program originally set to air November 3rd and 4th, year of our Lord 2024. Election Day coming up this week. If you have not voted, I strongly encourage you to do that. There have been many who have fought and died so that we would have the freedom to go to church and to live our lives the way that we would like to, and part of that is to vote. And so I certainly encourage you to do that. Today we're going to be studying in Mark chapter 15. We're going to be looking not necessarily at an election, but at a judgment that was decreed by one Pontius Pilate somewhere close to 2,000 years ago. And I am going to back up and reread a little bit of the scripture that we read last week. I know one of the things that we talked about last week was Barabbas, who was a man who was in prison at the time of the Passover. And it was a custom in that day that they would release a prisoner to the Jews on the Passover. And Pilate thought that he could release Jesus. I mean, after all, here is a man who has done no harm. He has hurt no one physically. He has given sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He has even given life to the dead. And so Pilate knew that they were jealous of him and thought, well, surely they'll release him. So he gave them choice. He said, who do you want me to release? And they said, Barabbas. And Mark has already told us that Barabbas had committed murder, or at least he was involved in it in some way. And we don't know, it may have been more than one that was killed. So the crowd cried out for Barabbas, and he said, well, what about Jesus? They said, crucify him. And I'll read to you verse 12 that retells part of this. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. So Pilate said, what do you want me to do with Jesus? Maybe that's a good question for us to ponder as well. What will we do with Jesus? And they cried out again, crucify him. They wanted no part of him. They wanted him gone from the earth. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil has he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And you know, as I was thinking about this morning's lesson, I thought, you know, are there people in the world that are just looking for something wrong with God? And as bad as I hate to say it, I think that is exactly the case. You know, Pilate knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong. We know in our hearts that God is perfect. I say that. I believe that. I believe probably most of those listening today believe that God is perfect. And so there is no problem with God. The problem is only sometimes with our understanding of God. And I know that there are those listening today that you're thinking, well, I would never find a problem with God. Well, I want to go back to the book of Genesis for just a moment. And there was a young man by the name of Joseph. He was about 17 years old. And his brothers took him and put him in a pit. And some of those boys would have been mature men. And they put him in a pit. And I'm sure while he was in that pit, there were some things went through his mind that this is not fair. And we know that he did cry out to his brothers, because that comes out later in the story. Later on, he was sold into Egypt to be a slave. Now, I've been around quite a few 17-year-old boys, and I'm sure that 17-year-old boys of our day might be somewhat different than Joseph was. I mean, he grew up on a farm. He probably had a level of maturity to him that sometimes today we don't have. I don't know that to be a fact. But I've never met a 17-year-old boy that his goal in life was to be a slave. I'm afraid I know some of them that are headed that way. Now, they may not ever have one person that owns them, but they're not making wise choices. Joseph was doing what his daddy asked him to do. Joseph was going to check on his brothers. And the next thing he knew, he was a good ways from home being sold on an auction block. And then he tried to do what he was supposed to do for his master. Tried to be a good boy, tried to take care of business, tried to do the things he should do, tried to be a good slave. And he wound up in prison. Do you ever think that just maybe Joseph might have thought, God is not really being fair with me here? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, and I shouldn't be putting words into Joseph's mouth, but I'm going to tell you something about Neil that I can't say about Joseph. There's been a time or two in my life that I never thought God was unfair, but I thought, Lord, I don't see where this is going. I don't see how this can be good. There's been moments in my life that I thought, boy, I don't understand. And don't tell me that I'm not supposed to wonder about understanding. I'm going to tell you something. I know that God's ways are not my ways. I know that God's ways are far and above anything that we could ever think. I get that. But, you know, I think there's some folks out there that's just looking for something wrong with God. I think there are some folks out there that are just trying to find a reason to run from the church and run from Christ. I know that's the case. I want to go back to Pilate's question, why? What evil hath he done? And the answer to that question is none. So they want to crucify him, and sometimes people become atheists because they don't want God in their life. That's how they crucify him. That's how they get rid of him. Sometimes people turn to pills and alcohol, other drugs, this type of thing, just get him out of their mind. Verse 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. The scourging itself, from what I've been told, could kill a man if they'd just continued with it. And by the way, I hear people get this confused, and it's not really a pet peeve of mine, but just to caution you on this, this Roman scourging had nothing to do with 40 stripes, save one. There was a Jewish law, and I reread it even this last week in Deuteronomy, where it said you can only beat a man with 40 stripes. And so the Jewish custom was they would not beat a man even to 40, because that was the limit by the law of Moses, but they would beat him 39, I guess, in case they'd miscounted one. Guys, this was not a Jewish scourging, it was a Roman scourging. And their job was to beat this prisoner within an inch of his life, to use a figure of speech. I mean, they beat him down. There was different ways that they did it, but they were wearing him out before they hung him on the cross. In verse 16, it says, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. This was actually the barracks of soldiers, which could have been numbered as many as 600, according to the Jimmy Swaggart Study Bible. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple. Now, there are some other gospels that use a different color, maybe crimson or red or whatever. You know, I own a Dodge pickup that I bought in 2003. And over the years, I've had people call it red. I've had people call it maroon. I've had people call it purple. Guys, it's the same truck, and it's just a dark red. If you look on the title, it says, I think it says deep molten red some kind, maybe pearl coat or something, which is definitely not a pearl coat today, I can tell you. It's all the same color. I wouldn't let that bother me. It says, and platted a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and, bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country. And they compelled, I'll read this again, and they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now, the mentioning here of Alexander and Rufus is interesting because they will be mentioned later on in the Bible. And so we suppose that it is the same two men that is mentioned here. Simon is compelled to help to carry Jesus' cross in part because of the beating that he's endured. In part because he's been up all night on trial. He is physically exhausted. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, or about 9 a.m., and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they who passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourselves and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they who were crucified with him reviled him. Now I'm going to stop right there for today. As I read this scripture, and I want in no way to be sarcastic about this. Jesus was beaten. He had a crown of thorns placed upon him. They spit on him. Today, what jumps out at me is the mockery. And you know, it's one thing, and I've never been mocked too much, not to my face. I've never been mocked too much, and I don't like it when it happens. But you know, with me, I'm a human being. And I know I make mistakes. I hadn't always been perfect. I'm not yet. But you know, somebody mocks me, I know that, well, you know what, they may have grounds to. I believe wholeheartedly that there is a God, but I get that, you know what, they can mock me, and, well, you know what, I've probably done the same thing. But here we have Jesus not only being crucified, but just being embarrassed. I mean, just being made fun of, being joked about, having ridicule cast at him, being mocked. And their breath was in his hand the whole time. At any moment, he could have stood up and walked off and took their lives and cast them into hell. But he didn't do it. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. I know I'm ending this thing a little bit abruptly today, but guys, listen. Jesus hung on that cross so that we might be saved, and I hope you accept him. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless Israel today.